We weren't born hating our body. This is a learned behaviour. So why do we learn to hate it, criticise it, and punish it for being exactly as it should be? It's time for us to change our mindset around the way we see our bodies and learn to love the body we're in. And this week's special guest shares how embracing her body led to a global movement. Welcome to the Hot and Healthy in Business podcast, bringing you the secrets to burning bright, not out in business. I'm your host, Belinda Hyatt, best known as Bindi, Creative Communications Director for Hot and Healthy in Business. Join me for courageous conversations with experts, thought leaders, and business owners about smart, practical strategies for women in small business. Taryn Brumfitt is a best-selling author and director of the social change documentary Embrace. Her global crusade to end body dissatisfaction has seen her recognised by United Nations Women, Amy Poehler's Smart Girls, and the Gina Davis Institute. She has the support of high-profile personalities, including Rosie O'Donnell, Ricky Lake, and Ashton Kutcher. She's been named alongside Beyoncé and Emma Watson in publications as Woman of the Year. Taryn's powerful message has reached over 100 million people via the likes of The Washington Post, The Doctors, Good Morning America, and The Today Show. Taryn lives in Adelaide with her husband Matthew, 3 children, 1 dog, 1 turtle, and 10 fish. And we headed to Adelaide to pay her a visit. Welcome, Taryn, to the Hot and Healthy in Business podcast. How are you going?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here with us in Adelaide, your hometown.
So nice when people come here and yeah. I don't have to get on a plane.
Now, of course, we're going to talk a lot about Embrace today. So let's go back to that day where you posted that famous photo of you naked and it went viral. Can you paint a picture for us on that day and what happened?
So the short story was I was hating my body. I learned to love my body, and I'd been speaking to some friends who were struggling with how they felt about their changing body. And on social media, I'm sure lots of your listeners have seen a before and after photograph. And before a woman is living in a larger body, she loses weight and miraculously she becomes happy. Mm. And I swapped mine around. Yeah. So my before was on stage ripped in a what I probably describe as a near perfect bikini body. Mm. And my after was as I am now, and it was nude, but you couldn't see anything, so it was quite tasteful. Yeah. But you could certainly see the cellulite and the rolls and the bumps and the lumps. And I posted that photograph, and it went really viral. It had over 100 million views in a few months, and it made headline news everywhere that a woman embraced her body after.
Yeah, the other way around.
The other way around.
Now, I'm curious to know what your husband said when you did that.
So he's a bit of a private man. Yeah. So I remember it was a Sunday night and 60 Minutes was on in the background and I was in the office and I posted it and I just heard him say, Taryn, did you just post a photograph of yourself nude on social media? I was like, yep, I did. Let me explain. So, yes, he wasn't entirely thrilled in the beginning, but my goodness, I'm so glad that I did post that photograph, and it was truly just for a few friends. It never meant to be anything more, and yet it started this, you know, this huge journey, and documentaries and films and all sorts of things have happened since that photo.
Yeah. Now, Embrace, the book and the documentary. In 2017, I first saw it. The place I was working at, a friend of mine, she rallied all the women together and actually got it screened in Toowoomba, and I think you actually attended. She was so excited, I still remember. Anyway, she lent me the DVD. And, I've probably watched it 5 times now, I think, and each time it becomes more and more relevant. Like, it just, you get something new every time. Obviously, your life's changed a lot because of that. How does your life look now because of Embrace?
Oh, gosh, it's so, so different. I mean, before all of this happened, I was a photographer.
Yeah.
I have three small young children. They're not so small anymore, but they'll always be small to me. And, yeah, I didn't do any media interviews, or I'd never written a book or directed a film or even spoken on stage, which is what I do a lot of spend a lot of my time doing now.
Mm.
So it's changed in the most dramatic of ways.
Yeah.
And it's been a massive personal growth experience for me too.
Yeah.
And at each stage, you know, before taking on, you know, sort of the next project, I really had to push and challenge myself outside of my comfort zone.
Mm.
because none of this world of being, you know, having a public profile, no matter how big or how small it is, but just being public and open to the world to sort of make comment on, it is really different. It's unusual, it's challenging, but the world needs this message, so I just have to get out of my own way and deliver it.
That's it. Wow. So that fitness model competition that you were talking about, what was going through your head after you'd made all that sacrifice, all that change, you got on stage and you still didn't get that completeness that you were after, that, yes, I've done it. Yeah, a big, big accomplishment, but you still felt empty and it just still wasn't right. What was happening there for you, and what was the biggest lesson for you from that moment?
Well, I remember walking from one side of the stage to the other, and they can only be described as those porno shows. I'm so sorry for this. That is what they were. They were like plastic, really high heel shoes, and I was in this silver bikini. And I remember looking out to the audience, and there was 900 people looking at me and judging my body, and I just remember thinking, how ridiculous is this? And I always joke, I'm sure a part of the feminist in me died that day on stage, and out of 900 people I only saw one person, and that was my dad.
Oh.
So that was even harder. But look, what happened for me up there on that stage was I realised that my body is not an ornament. It is the vehicle to my dreams. That's what I say endlessly these days, and it means so much. Because that quote is derived from that place on stage, being judged. And I think the lesson is that we spend far too much of our time being consumed with how we look, and we've forgotten about how we feel.
Yeah.
And we've become, as a race, so disconnected to our bodies and our lives and to relationships, and people are suffering. So we need to really start focusing on how we feel and getting a little bit more balance back.
Yeah. So there seems to be, I've noticed, a bit of a generational conditioning in women from the media, from our peers, magazines. There's all these stereotypes that we need to break through and all of that to make them understand that we're enough and to accept the body that we're in. It's truly a waste of energy for us to spend all that time on self-hate. Criticise ourselves, and this is where your mission comes in, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And the energy it takes to hate your body is enormous.
I know.
And lots of people listening will know too.
Yeah.
And I guess this is one of the really nice things to talk about was I have so much energy these days, and it wasn't always like that.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure, and we don't have the data from the professors yet, which is always nice to have, you know, have some evidence behind it. But anecdotally, I absolutely know that removing that chip that I hate my body and obsessing over how it looks and thinking about calories and comparing my body to someone else's body and just that person inside our minds. We all know that person.
Yep.
You're standing in front of the change rooms, the mirror, at the beach, whatever it is. When you don't have that, it's like
you're free.
Crickets.
Yeah.
It's like this. You are absolutely free, but it just creates space for you to think, what am I going to do with my life and these really limited days I have on the planet?
Mm.
So, energy, it takes a lot of energy to hate your body. So if you've got a mission and you're in business and you want your business to be successful, it's one of the first things that you can do is have a great relationship with your body and who you are, so that you can really kick whatever the goals you have.
Yeah, and you're right. If you can get rid of that thing that's inside us that makes us do that, it makes other areas, all the other areas of your life a lot easier.
Absolutely. It doesn't mean it might not necessarily go away entirely. You know, I mean, I love my body hard. I'm unconditional in how I feel about my body, no matter how it looks and still wiggles and jiggles and all those things.
Yeah.
But for some people, it might just be accepting their body or not even hating their body. And that might make a huge, profound impact on their life. So whatever it means to you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Embrace You, your new online program, which sounds amazing. It's teaching people how to embrace their body and to give it unconditional love like you do. Can you tell us about what that program does and what it offers and what's included?
Yeah, sure. So the reason it came about was the film Embrace was seen by millions of people and we were just inundated with everyone going, I want to embrace. They were like really enthusiastic, but they're like, but how do we do it? So we spent a couple of years putting this program together and it's a 4-week online program.
Yep.
It teaches women how to embrace their bodies and also understand the why behind the reasons why they hate their bodies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of media literacy. We have guests who join us on the show, on the program, should I say. From weight psychologists to meditation teachers to neuroscience teachers.
Wow.
We just leave no stone unturned. And it's a program I'm very, very proud of. We have a 98% satisfaction rate and a 94% success rate of people finishing the program, embracing their body more. We only run 2 or 3 a year and we've only got one more left this year. So, join us. It is fun.
Yeah.
But I think what people get most out of it is that whilst it's being created to that 4-week structure, some people like to do it in 4 days. Some people take 4 months. I'm like, yeah.
That's hard.
That's right. Gold star for those people. But most people just want to do things in their own time. We don't want to add more to your to-do list and make you feel more overwhelmed. It's about taking things away that aren't working for you.
Yeah.
But we also give the course materials for life. So there's none of this hoo-ha around. You can have it for a bit and take it away. We're just like, there's 8.8 billion people on the planet and our mission is to get to them all. So have Embrace You and it works. Go out there. And the only time we really want to hear back from people who've done the course is to tell us their success stories and the adventures they've been on. They're the best emails I get.
And speaking of those success stories, can you share with us like some of the impacts it's had already?
Yeah, I think the most heartfelt impacts that I read are the ones that involve relationships with other people, with mums and daughters, with friendships, with husbands and wives. Look, that's really heartfelt. The ones I love as a woman in business is the barriers that are broken down where women are, you know, going back to university at 40 or 50 and going, I've always wanted to do this, but I was held back, but now I feel like I've got the confidence too. So we've had a few of those stories.
Yeah.
And then we get the adventurous ones where, they're running marathons or they're doing nude swims or they're, they're rock climbing or, there's a variety of stories and they're all beautiful in their own way and they're all impacting women in such a positive way that will have a great ripple effect for others because it's really infectious when you embrace your body. I think people want a piece of it.
Yeah. And the next round opens real soon, doesn't it? When does that open?
Yeah, it does. So the next round's in November. So you can go, there's a wait list. We cap our numbers just because, our community is so large and we want to be of service to everyone. So, but it's embraceyouonline.com waitlist, join it. And I'd love some of your listeners to come on and have some adventures with us.
Wow, sounds awesome. But just listening to you then, I can see the passion in you and how you're living your purpose and it's really shining through. So that ripple effect is happening. Like you said, it's impacting those people who do your program, but then the relationships they have with others, and that just keeps flowing.
Yeah, and look, I love seeing women reach their full potential, and in all my travels with making, say, the film, I've never met a really powerful global leader who was a man who was concerned about his thighs. So, you know, I do worry when we're talking about equality and sort of, you know, reaching where we want to be, that there are a lot of women anchored down and held back by how they feel about their bodies.
Yep.
And I think we need to really get a handle on that, learn how to embrace and just put it to the side and go, right, what am I here to do in my life? Because the world needs us.
Yeah, so true. So when things get a bit challenging for you, as they all do for all of us, what's your mantra? What's your affirmation you use to keep you on track?
This is a good question. I mean, I have lots. I think sometimes the biggest challenges for me is when someone doesn't see a vision or a project that I'm pursuing and they don't come on board. Like, it's the rejection. I'm not good with rejection still. That's going to be my lifelong thing to work on. So one of my mantras is, be so good they can't ignore you. Steve Martin said that. I think it just helps me to keep going sometimes.
Yeah.
And the amount of knockbacks and rejections I've had over the years, gosh, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count them all.
Yeah.
And I think that quote has really helped me.
Yeah.
It's almost that, like, I'll show them in a kind of very namaste way, like not in a revengeful way. But, yeah, that's one of my quotes.
I love that. And I'm, you know, to think just the documentary alone, putting that together, you would have had so many knockbacks, you know, like, because you reached out huge globally.
Yeah. Look, I think people don't know. Look, the film's had a huge success. It's been on Netflix. It had a 2-year deal and it went number one in iTunes in, the US, Canada, UK, Ireland, everywhere. In Germany, we beat Guardians of the Galaxy and King Arthur on their opening night. We went number one at the cinema. We had 52,000 Germans come and see the film on one night. So there's all these really extraordinary stories, but no one knows that we were sort of knocked back by about four film festivals. So I think there's another great quote by Steve Furtick, and he says, don't compare your behind the scenes with someone else's highlight reel.
Yeah.
So don't ever think that someone who's in a position of success or is sharing their success, they haven't done the hard yards or they haven't had the knockbacks. I mean, we know that when we're in business. It's certainly not easy. But people like to – they naturally gravitate to those success stories. It's like crowdfunding on Kickstarter. There was 8,909 backers around the world. The target was to reach 200,000. This is to make the film.
Yeah.
We hit that on day 12 of a 60-day campaign.
Whoa.
When I say we, it's like me and my washing. I remember that time really well. It was me and my washing, my little laptop sitting there working away. And we ended up raising 331,000.
Wow.
So, but people were like, oh, my God, it's just so lucky that it happened. And I'm like, no. There was no luck. It was 7 months of research and it was late nights and it was that people don't see that though.
Yeah.
So we must be careful not to gloss over the hard bits too. We've got to share those stories to give others hope.
Without those hurdles, you don't have the highs, hey?
Correct.
Mm. Now, you and I have got quite a bit in common. Mm. I've done the diets, the self-hate. I've been on my own journey for over the last year. I've learnt to love who I am.
Woohoo! Can I add that in? Woohoo! Ooh,
go for it. I dropped 25 kilos, did a fun run and a photo shoot. Do you have any big, audacious personal goals that you're aiming for at the moment?
Well, firstly, congratulations on all of those. They're amazing to hear. Oh, goodness. I just saw running. I heard you say running. I'm like, oh, I just did a marathon a couple of months ago to raise funds for the next documentary, Embrace Kids.
Yep.
So that's really my big audacious goal right now. It's $500,000 we're raising to make that film. And that is just production costs.
Yeah.
So once the film is made, I want to give it away as a free resource to schools across the world.
Amazing.
Just to say, here, take this, because we actually do have the data from professors Dr. Zali Yeager and Dr. Ivanka Pritchard from Melbourne and Flinders University that show the impact of Embrace. So now they're working on this new project, Embrace Kids, with me to bring the creative and the data together to help the next generation, because they are struggling so much. So, yes, that's my focus and my goal and my everything at the minute is to get that is to reach that target. That's why I ran the marathon. I didn't do that for fun, because
fun and run are not meant to go together.
Why would they do that fun run? It's not.
So how can people support you in that fundraising that you're trying to do?
I think, look, making the connection. We have people all across Australia and the world just playing their part. They might want to do a casual day at their office and raise $20. We've had people who have had products where, you know, 10% of sales for the month of, you know, August go to go to the film. So I think just putting it out there, I think people know how they could, if they know somebody that might be able to, you know, they know the education minister, let me know. I think everyone knows in their own way how they could help, but I think connecting with the project through bodyimagemovement.com is probably the best way, and just to learn a little bit more about it.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. So you're a mum, as we all know, a very busy woman, travelling, speaking, running.
Not running anymore.
But doing Embrace You. What are your strategies for self-care to avoid burnout?
Sleep. I am actually coming up, what am I now? I think it's like 350 days without being sick, which is actually quite unheard of. And the biggest thing I've changed in the last year is really prioritising sleep.
Yeah.
I actually read Arianna Huffington's book Thrive.
Yep.
And I think it's an old masculine way of leadership to be hard and fast and stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and do emails and that's somehow like getting a pat on the back. I think I bought into that sort of masculine way of leadership for a long time. So read that book and it was quite profoundly life-changing for me. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Something as simple and as cheap and easy as sleep. Well, I wouldn't say easy, but look, I think we need to really prioritise it. Food that nourishes my body to give me energy. I mean, that's probably my number one value, is having energy, my health values. And also meditation and movement.
Yep.
I used to move my body for punishment. As opposed to how I move it these days, which is for pleasure. And it's getting really intuitive about my body. It's like, what does my body need? And sometimes when I'm really stressed and I'm traveling, I might be like, I've got to go to the gym and lift weights and grunt. and then other times it's like, oh, I just need to just chill.
Yeah.
Like, give me some yoga. So it's really listening in to your body and giving it exactly what it needs. And I think for everyone listening, nobody knows your body like you know your body.
So true.
You know, get intuitive with it, listen to it, give it what it needs, nourish it, love it.
Yeah, so true. So this is a bit left field. What's your definition of success?
Well, it depends on the day of the week. I've had three sick kids for 2 weeks. Guys, I need to get to 1 year without sickness like this. look, it varies and it changes all of the time, I think. But, look, I think if we narrow it down, success for me is being happy and content. And I think, you know, our work lives and our personal lives, they're all intertwined. You know, they all cross over. I think I think it's having as much balance as we can. And sometimes for some of us, it's about lowering the bar a little bit too.
Yeah.
I'm for all for, you know, reaching for your targets and your goals and getting there and persisting through whatever the challenges are. But I think we also need to give ourselves a bit of a break sometimes. We cannot do it all.
Yeah.
So getting help where we need to get help. Whether that's around the home or in the office, and just, looking after ourselves on that journey too.
And as you mentioned, you know, it's good to have goals and, you know, don't beat yourself up if you don't reach them. It's just shifting the goalposts a little.
Yeah, and I think we need to do more of that. And I think the really successful people are the ones that identify earlier that the goal might not have been for them, and yeah. something else has led them down that road to reach whatever it is, and yeah. they're sort of getting towards it, and it either doesn't feel good or it's not working out the way that they had hoped.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a bit of an energy thing myself, but being nimble enough to exit or pivot in another direction, I think, is really key to success in business.
Yeah, so true. So what are the future plans for you? And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I hate the 5 year
question. The 5 years? or whenever, you know. Yeah,
whenevs.
Whenevs.
You know why I don't like it? Because I think sometimes had you've told me back in 2000, you know, if you'd asked me that in 2009, before all of this happened, it would just be so different. Like I never know what's around the corner. So yeah. I try to be as present as I can. I do know that we're, you know, absolutely working towards another doco TV series in the US and one here in Australia. I'm writing book 3 and 4 at the same time.
Oh, wow.
At the moment, just for fun. One's a children's book and the other is not really related to children, so it's interesting. And, look, I really want to produce a magazine. I think the world needs a global magazine that honours women and all of our fabulousness.
Yes.
And just listening to stories and sharing stories. So, look, there's a lot on the cards. And, in 5 years, I guess I'll just be doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah, we'll just be hearing more of you.
Well, as you know, there's 8.8 billion people, as I said, on the planet. There's a lot of people to get this message to.
Yeah.
And I know the ones that we've impacted already, the millions of people that have seen Embrace and have connected with us, whether it's through social or traditional media.
So we ask all our guests on Hot and Healthy in Business podcast what their top 5 tips are for women in small business. What are yours?
Well, the first one is absolutely prioritising sleep and self-care over everything. And, of course, there might be times that you might compromise your well-being, you might stay up late working, but I think we just need to be respectful and mindful that there can be consequences to doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get what it's like, especially in startup, that you've got to dig deep. But I guess during that time, it's just so critical that you put your needs, like your health needs, before everything else too. So sleep, self-care. The other one is network, connecting with others, whether it's starting a group or joining a group. We spoke off air about my networking.
Yeah.
Like I just every time I network, I'm like, I should do more of this. This actually really works. But it actually takes me a little bit of effort sometimes to get in the room. You know, I'm a really confident person, but sometimes just that networking sort of scene, it can be a little bit scary, but I absolutely encourage all of you to find your inner superhero to get in that room because
yeah.
it's really important for business.
Yeah.
And it's nice to share as well, and it's nice to help others.
And it's nice to know you're not alone.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think the other one is saying no to all the coffee catch-ups. Everyone yeah. wants to catch up and have a cuppa, and that's lovely. But there's so limited, you know, hours in a
yeah.
day that I think we actually need to be quite ruthless with our diaries and who we're just giving out time to here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
The other one is being persistent. Don't give up. Keep going. And I know that sounds really obvious, but there have been certain times over the last 7 years with body image movement where I've felt right at the edge and I just don't know if I can push through, whether it's to make the, you know, to make the ends meet, you know, to pay the bills, to get my message across and for it to be heard in the way I want it to be heard, just these little pockets and moments in time. And I really had to sort of stop and pause in those moments and just go, I'm having a moment. Taryn, you've got to keep going. Because I think so many people walk away right at that critical time.
Exactly.
Where they just need to nudge on through. And that's, I think, where you can call on friends, people you've networked with, to help support you.
Mm.
So, yeah, be persistent. And also the 80-20 rule. It's another question I get, like, how do you do so many things? As in, like, there's a lot of projects, you know, book, film, documentary, work overseas. I have my 80% that I'm focused on, and that might be 2 or 3 projects at a time.
Yep.
and then I have my 20%. So projects that probably no one will even hear about or see the light of day for maybe 2 or 3 years, like the magazine, had started 2 years ago, but it was my 20%. So it's not overwhelming. I just worked on it 20% of the time. My focus was here on my 2 or 3 projects. But it's always just making momentum forward for those other projects that are yet to be birthed.
I have heard that one from other entrepreneurs, the 80-20 rule. And, they do actually prune back those things that take up time and effort and money and energy that they don't need in the mix anymore. So
yeah, and I think this is also – it manages the overwhelm because if everything was on the list at one time, you'll just get nothing done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 80-20 works.
Love it. So I've got one last question for you. If you – had just one message to share with the world, what would it be?
That you weren't born into this world hating your body. This is a learned behaviour and it means that you can unlearn it.
Mm.
And if you truly want to step into your power as a woman, as a mother, as a business owner, as a friend, as a wife, as a warrior, then having a beautiful, respectful and loving relationship with your home is key to everything you do.
Mm. Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. We love having you with us and we look forward to seeing you on our TV show as well.
Amazing.
Thanks
for having me.
Now is your time to take action and stop being a best kept secret. Join Hot and Healthy in Business Membership, where we empower you with the confidence, skills, and platforms to promote and grow your business. Go to hotandhealthyglobal.com to join today. Until next episode, stay hot and